podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by 99designs, the world's largest online graphic design marketplace. 99designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of 200,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/AAA to receive a free design consultation. That's 99designs.com/AAA. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used Android smartphones. Find out what your used Samsung Galaxy S3 and other smartphones are worth at gazelle.com. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 101, recorded on Tuesday, March 19th, 2013. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for people who like Android a lot. We had that whole thing last week where we were like, no fanboyism, blah, blah, blah. And then someone pointed out, they were like, yeah, but you start the show off with Android faithful. I was like, oh, that's kind of a good point. So maybe I need to toy that a little bit. But anyways, I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards, and I have no shame in being a faithful Android lover.
All right. Well, yeah. This will be a conversation that continues, I have a feeling, into our email.
and I'm Gina Trapani. I am also faithful, but also not a fangirl. It goes both ways.
Yeah, I guess that's the question. Is saying that you're Android faithful, does that mean that you play the fanboy party line then, as far as like what we were talking about last week?
No.
Yeah,
I don't think so. Yeah, no. Right. I mean, I consider myself like a Mets faithful, and I criticize the hell out of that baseball team.
All right, there we go.
Yeah, I mean, like you can still be faithful, but you should be critical.
So, that's the same thing that I do with my wife. Yeah. I'm faithful to her, but not really. I mean, come on. I can just talk about her behind her back, right? Not really.
If I love something enough to carry it in my pocket, then
There you go.
Faithful to it. You have faith in it. I like that. All right. Yeah. You know what? Android faithful, it's sticking around. It ain't going anywhere. I like the way you think. We have a very special guest with us this week. We're welcoming back Tim Schofield, owner of QBKing77.com. You've probably seen him on YouTube. Tim, it's awesome to have you back on the show. It's been a while.
Yeah, it definitely has. I'm excited to be back on the show.
Right on. You've got a lot of really good kind of Android walkthroughs on YouTube, and you've kind of expanded what kind of the content of your video now to be more, you have some general technology coverage as well. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm definitely trying to expand a little bit more from just Android tutorials and such and getting more on the tech news side, also trying to review more products, not just phones, going with tablets, maybe laptops, cameras, et cetera. Just kind of the whole general tech, because that seems like what my fan base seems to want to see, anything tech-related, not just Android.
Yeah, totally. Awesome.
Diversification is a good thing with content.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Don't spread yourself too thin, though. You know, keep your focus.
Definitely going to be sticking with Android as the main focus for sure.
Yeah, right on. Well, it's great to have you back. We've got a crazy show, a lot of stuff to talk about this week. We'll be discussing Andy Rubin out, Sundar Pichai in, Google Reader out, Samsung Galaxy S4 in, and many more things, both inside out and outside in. So, you know, we got a lot of stuff.
Look at you with the copy.
I know.
I'm impressed.
That was off the top of my head.
That was great.
I'm never going to do that again. I'm sorry.
I apologize. It's like we have a writing staff. I love it.
Yeah.
Where are my cue cards?
Me. All day. All right. Let's waste no more time and dive into the news. Okay. So starting off a little strong here. Kind of big news here. Andy Rubin stepping down as head of Android. Google's Larry Page announced the big news, stating Andy had decided to move on to other projects within the company. And Andy Rubin actually wrote an email to Android partners where he said...
I'd rather hear it in his own words.
I think this might be the last time we see this little segment here. You go ahead and... There he is. where he said, I am an entrepreneur at heart, and now is the right time for me to start a new chapter within Google. I'm amazed by what we have accomplished from those early days not so long ago and remain passionate about the power of a simple idea and a shared goal, an open source platform freely available to everyone to transform computing to people everywhere.
Can I get the file for that animation? Just because I think I want that at work now. Just every now and then, I just want to pull it up my screen and just have a conversation with Andy.
I'm really surprised.
What would Andy say?
Yeah, it's not an animated GIF yet.
No,
it probably should be.
It should be. It should be an animated GIF.
Like an eight ball, you know, like it could just mouth could move and it could be like.
Keep going, Ron. You can always ask Andy an important question and he'll give you an informed answer. So Sundar Pichai, sorry, I lost my train of thought here. Sundar Pichai is taking over the reins, basically replacing Andy at the helm of Android. And Sundar has up until now been VP of Chrome, but he's actually adding Android to his current duties, not replacing it. Right. So on top of everything that he's already got going, Android is added to that list, which leads to some interesting speculation. But before we get to that,
I would love to hear from him.
Yeah, before we get to that, let's just get this out of the way. Our new segment thought long and hard for a name of the segment and came up with What Would Sundar Say?
And what would Sundar say?
Hey, there he is. There's our boy. All right, Sundar, what do you have to say about that? Nothing. Sundar has said absolutely nothing. It's just the way it is. Sundar hasn't said anything yet. Hopefully he will, and that graphic will get a lot more play.
We are prepared. That's just the important thing.
Exactly.
So this bit of news was actually, I forget what I was doing the day that it happened, but I was somewhere. I wasn't at my desk. I was out about, and I saw on Twitter somebody actually like tweeting at us about it, and it was one of those things where I did a double take because I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
Like I was like, whoa, Andy Rubin stepped down? Like I
did the same thing.
Right?
Yeah.
Completely shocking. Didn't see it coming.
Yeah, didn't see it coming. What do you guys think? I mean, kind of Andy's made his mark. He's behind Android in every step of the way. In fact, what I read earlier, and I didn't know this. I had heard it as rumor and speculation, but apparently it's true, is that Android, basically, let's see here. Where did I read this? Android sounds like Andy. And so many people have said like, oh, wow, is it, you know, did Android, the name of the platform come from Andy because he created it? Actually, Android is Andy Rubin. Coworkers at Apple gave him the nickname back in 1989 because of his love for robots.
Wow, really?
Isn't that interesting.
Yeah, and Android.com was his personal homepage up until like 2008, he gave it over to the project.
Wow.
So his legacy will live on through the ages.
Well, the speculation is that his next project may have to do more with actual real androids at
like
Google.
Actual robots.
Robots.
Or are they Andy droids?
Andy droids.
Andy droids.
Right.
No way.
Andy, no. Oh, no.
Not that. Hey, it was one of those things where you said it out loud and you realize you shouldn't have never have said it. Well, so what do you guys think of Andy on the way out and Sundar on the way in? Sundar is definitely proven, he's proven himself. He's been around a long time. He's done great things with Chrome.
Yeah. What I love about Sundar is the, 5 seconds before everyone's like, Android's going to merge with Chrome. Mm-hmm. And like all of those rumors just like ran. Like that was the one thing I saw from everyone just assuming that they won't keep them as separate business units.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Maybe they'll merge them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think they're pretty integrated as it is now. We've got a nice version of Chrome for Android. It could only get better. Whether or not Android becomes Chrome OS is another story. I doubt that.
Or become interoperable in some way.
Yeah. I know he said that they're becoming closer and closer with, obviously, the Chrome OS and Android. I think he said something about them trying to keep them separate, keeping two viewpoints and two OSs. I don't know if that means it's just going to be a little bit more of a slow merger or if they're even thinking about putting them together at all.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, do any of you have a lot of experience with Chrome OS? Like, have you sat down and used it for a while?
Yeah, I reviewed the Chromebook that we got. I reviewed the one that came out right after the CR48 by Samsung. And then I've just kept my eye sort of on the platform.
What about you, Gina?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I had the CR48 and I got the Chromebook from last year. I spent a little time with it, but honestly, I just couldn't do my daily kind of work on it. I just couldn't code on it.
I haven't
incorporated into my daily use.
That's the thing. Like, I have the Chromebox we got from I.O. last year, and I have it hooked up, and I turn it on every couple of weeks just to kind of play with it, to tinker with it. I feel like if that was running, I'm Android faithful. If that was running Android, that would be way more interesting to me. But.
Well, it's interesting because the Googlers would always make the distinction between Android and Chrome OS as that, like, Chrome OS will run on something with a physical keyboard and no touchscreen, and Android will run on something with a touchscreen. Obviously, there are Android devices with physical keyboards.
Right. But Asus would disagree with that.
Sort of blurred, right, with the Pixel. The Chromebook Pixel now has a touchscreen running, interestingly, Chrome OS. Like, I would be really interested in the Pixel if it was running Android, and I'm actually waiting for someone, if someone hasn't done it already, to get Android running on the Pixel. Yeah. But I have to say, I thought that everyone kind of conflating the change in leadership with the merging of products, that seemed misguided to me. I don't think that Google's, you know, hot to merge Chrome OS and Android. I think they're very separate things. I think they're both very successful products. Mm-hmm. I was sad about Andy. I mean, Andy Rubin's kind of like, he's the face of Android, right? I think especially when it comes to open source projects, the leader is very important. You know, like, I mean, Pichai has really proven himself, and Chrome is also based on an open source project. I mean, they have very similar structures, right? Chromium and then Chrome versus, you know, the Android open source project and then Google's Android. So I think that was, you know, comforting that Sundar is taking over, but also kind of made me wonder about the Rubin thing. I mean, they spun the story that, you know, Rubin's an entrepreneur and he's really good at these big ambitious moonshots and he's good at getting things off the ground. And then he was sort of tiring of, like, how big the whole, you know, Android ecosystem was, and he was bad at striking up deals with different partners. And but at the same time, it seemed kind of sudden. I would love to have known, you know, I would love to know what the conversations were.
Well, these things are always sudden, right? I mean, we never really see them come, you know what I mean? Unless somebody has a major fail or some sort of problem. But I think the entrepreneur argument is actually pretty true. If you look at it, he's been helming this for how long? Since 2007? When did they announce? In his statement, he said when they announced it to the Open Handset Alliance.
He was working with Android before.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a long time. I mean, I don't know about you and your previous jobs and stuff like that, but sometimes you need a change, and sometimes you need to mix it up. And sometimes
I think it was 10 years. I think it was ultimately 10 years. 10 years is a really good amount of time. I mean, that's like, you know, a point at which you're like, okay, I'm ready to move on to the next thing. And he's a huge fan of robotics. He's a huge fan of home automation, which is interesting that Android at Home never really kind of took off or hasn't taken off yet. But I'm curious to know what he's working on next at Google. I would love to know. I don't know if it's Glass. I feel like it's going to be the thing beyond Glass.
Right. The thing that you aren't going to hear about for quite some time, or it's going to be shrouded in mystery, at least.
Space elevator.
There's also the fact that, you know, Andy Rubin, starting Android, worked with much smaller teams, was able to kind of do crazy innovation around Android. It got picked up by Google, became this great big massive thing. It's possible that maybe it just got too big for him. Like, it's just kind of like, you know what? The kind of change, the entrepreneur side of me really wants to have control over a project that isn't quite so enormous. Because Android at this point it's successful. It's a testament to Andy's hard work. But, you know, maybe at that point it's like, I want a new challenge.
He really set the foundation for Android, and I think it's gotten so big it's probably a little overwhelming because of how large it is. And I'm sure he's missing, back when they first got started with Android, working with these smaller groups and keeping it much more smaller than it is now. Obviously it's huge now, but I'm sure he definitely enjoys working with these smaller groups and starting a project as opposed to maintaining this large project, because he's definitely set this foundation for Android. It's ready to improve, but all these improvements are more minor, especially because they have all of these partners, Samsung, HTC, everyone using Android. So they've definitely got the foundation set, and I think he's ready to move on. I'm sure it's been a little bit time consuming for him as well, and I think he has a family. I'm sure he wants to spend some more time with them as well if he works on a smaller project.
Absolutely.
Well, we wish him luck. He did good by us, even though we never did land that interview. We never did get
maybe now that interview is
maybe
more
now
possible.
We'll get the interview.
Yeah, exactly. We can get like the post game report.
We already have our in, right? We have him talking on video. Well, we need in our graphic. We just show that to him.
I just want to know if he's seen it. That's all I want to know. I just want to know if he's aware that it exists. That's too much to ask.
Well, now we have another target, and that's Sundar. So we'll see what we can do there on that front. Maybe Google I/O. I don't know. Maybe I'll load it onto my device and walk around. If I see him, be like, see this? You seen this?
I submitted my info to I/O, and now I just wait for them to deny me. So,
Well, I hope that they
don't. That's what happened last year, and then they approved me. So
I know I got denied.
You did?
Yep.
Well, you never know. You never know, because last year I got denied, and they actually emailed me and said, "Sorry, we're out of spots, whatever." And then like a week before, they're like, "Oh, we can get you in." So you never know. So
nice.
Yeah. So be prepared.
I'll keep my hopes up then.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So
absolutely. All right, Gina. What else is happening this time? I guess with the Play Store, right?
Googleplex.
Yeah, Google started purging ad blocking apps from the Play Store. This was kind of a controversial thing. I saw a lot of people complaining about this on Twitter. So popular ad blocking apps like AdAway started to get notifications that Google was pulling their apps from the Play Store because they violate Section 4.4, the Play Store Developer Distribution Agreement. Section 4.4 lists prohibited actions. And it reads, "You agree that you will not engage in any activity with the market, including the development or distribution of products that interferes with, disrupts, damages, or accesses in an unauthorized manner the devices, servers, networks, or other properties or services of any third party." Blah, blah, blah. I won't read you all the legalese, but essentially, you know, the argument is ad blockers disrupt and block services from advertising companies like Google. Google is one. And that's the reason why these apps are getting pulled. And I saw some people kind of upset about this, but gotta tell you, I mean, I feel like, you know, that's the agreement. And, you know, there are lots of different ways to distribute your Android apps. It doesn't have to happen through the Play Store. You can just, you know, put a link up to an APK or do it through other marketplaces. And, you know, this is the agreement. So I wasn't too upset about this. I also don't really use an ad blocking app. I'm sure that you guys had discussed ad blockers here on the show before my time.
We actually,
so how'd you feel about it?
We actually haven't that much.
Yeah, it hasn't really been a topic on the show.
Because I don't feel
a sense. I mean, I'm sure it's come up, but.
Yeah, but I don't think it's not like patent law or anything like that. It's not a recurring topic.
Yeah. Right.
Because I don't feel a sense of entitlement around that. It's okay to block ads. I've never felt
the need to.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of my own personal income has been from advertising-based products, and I believe in advertising. That's how this stuff gets free. And there's that whole geek entitlement, which is – it's the same reasoning that devalues apps, that they won't pay more than 99 cents for apps and things like that. That says I should be allowed to block ads and all that sort of stuff, and sometimes you're not. Sometimes it's in the terms of service, and you got to live by it. Mm-hmm. Hey, if I get an app for free, it's just because I have a little ad at the bottom. I can not look at that ad. That's easy. Or sometimes it might be relevant and you might click on it. You never know.
What's weird for me is I don't know if I just don't see ads. Like, yeah. Even when they're in an app, unless they're the kind that like you're using it and suddenly it takes you to a completely different screen that's like a full page ad with a big green button at the bottom that you have to dismiss manually. That's pretty darn annoying. But, you know, hey, the developers, they got to make something back for the time that they put into it. But a lot of times these apps that you get that the ad blockers would work against are the tiny little banner down at the bottom. And I just don't see them,
which means
that I'm not necessarily playing into the value of an advertisement being there for me to see and act upon. But at least they're getting the metrics on their side that says that that ad was delivered to me. And if that equals a little bit of money for their times, you know, developing the app, then I'm totally cool with that.
I completely agree with you, Jason. Definitely. I feel like you see ads so often, you've trained yourself over time to just not even look at them if they're not relevant to you at all. And Ron, I agree with you. Some revenue I make from ads as well. And, you know, when I think about it, you do have to think about that. I have some friends that are developers and develop apps. And when you think about it, they put all this time and effort into it. And usually if it's a free app in the Play Store and you have an ad at the bottom, and I enjoy the app that the developer has made, I definitely don't want to block the ads. I want to support them as much as I can, especially because I enjoy the free content that they give. I mean, if I was a paid app and they included ads, yeah, I'd understand blocking the ads. But I mean, if it's a free app, I'm definitely going to say, hey, I want to support you guys and maybe even click on an ad here and there if it's relevant and something I want to look at.
Hey, those games that make you look at a 300x250 ad or watch a video to get more gold, I've done that. Mm-hmm. That's fine. I'm willing to trade my time for give me something to reward. The airport makes you watch an ad to get free Wi-Fi. You know, it's just a part. Yeah, whatever.
Anyway. Yeah, I think I'm just trying to understand why people were upset about this, because we're all seem to be in agreement that it doesn't seem like a big deal. I mean, I think it was just like, oh, you know, the Android or the Play Store is supposed to be this open place. Android's open.
Right.
You should be able to run whatever on your device you want to run.
Well, yes.
I didn't necessarily agree with that.
And it's like those people have never
spam and these kinds of apps.
And it's like those people who think that have never heard of Google. Like, they've never heard of how Google makes their revenue through ads. I mean, like, that's the core of their business.
I think part of that stems from just, like, this kind of perception that the Google Play Store, for right or for wrong, that the Play Store is the anti-Apple app universe.
Yeah.
And that's that,
where the weird on the Apple side, fanboyism goes. Yeah.
You would never have that. So, you know, and they have in the Play Store. And so now you're taking that from me. Wow, you're getting very, you know, non-Googly about that. And it's like, no, they're just kind of getting smarter about it. And yeah, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. It's so, like with them having this app in the Play Store, it's changing other people's apps. So it's changing how their apps run and how their apps work. So I definitely think that Google saw that and said, hey, these people don't want their ads to go away. There shouldn't be apps in the Play Store that can mess with other people's apps. And it would definitely, that could cause issues, especially if you're able to do that to kind of manipulate the way certain apps run.
Yeah. It's just the way, it's the cost of doing business, and people should be, you know, I'm honestly surprised it took them this long to block the ad blocking.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, so moving on in other Android news, or not really Android news yet, as Google I.O. inches ever closer, as we get closer to May, we're going to start seeing little leaks and little things that might come out that lead to speculation. And last week we had one where Google might be readying an app called Keep, which is looks to be like a Evernote-like application. Last week, some of the blogs out there were able to spot that in the wild, that Google had made Google Keep Live for
on
a very
site,
brief time.
Not an app.
But you've got to assume there would be an accompanying app to go with it. It had an interesting yellow-colored app. So if you're keeping track of the colors of Google app icons, Google Keep was yellow. So that was the first little kind of tease that we saw last week. And then the second one, so there you can see a screenshot of what Keep is going to look like. And it looks like a task list kind of to-do note kind of thing, you know, priority.
Yeah,
interesting. And, you know, it's got that card kind of interface. It should be interesting to see what they do with this.
It looks very plussy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the other one that was rumored was that there's rumor that Google is going to rebrand and unify their chat services under an app called Babbel. And there you've got a bunch of different Google-colored chat balloons. A report on Geek.com cited multiple sources reporting separately that Babbel continues Google's trend towards organization by conversation. You could share photos and chat windows just like you would in G+ Messenger, start a hangout with anyone in your contact list, and the conversations are threaded across all existing services. So with Gtalk, Gmail, Google+, and Hangouts, you got a whole bunch of different messaging platforms. It makes sense that they would unify.
And Doc Chat.
Please
bring it. Want.
Yeah. So.
Yes.
Want.
Yep.
I don't know. Especially, particularly just for, you know, like there's so much overlap with like Messenger and Talk.
Yep.
And it just, and Google Voice. Pay more attention to Google Voice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So. This is a little teaser for your
wiener. I don't know if you guys remember. Oh, later. Go ahead, Gina.
No, this is a little teaser for my arena pick for later, but we'll save
it. Oh, excellent. Okay, keep it in mind.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Tim?
If you guys remember WebOS, it's kind of like that. They had integrations between all these different chat services, Google Talk, your just SMS, and all of them getting integrated into one. It kind of reminds me of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so very much so.
The messaging in the chat has gotten out of control at Google, so this makes sense. So we'll see. So we need to start putting odds against these, whether we'll see Google Keep at I.O., whether we'll see Babbel, you know, like we'll see which ones. You know,
are we talking about what the things that we will end up seeing at I.O.?
I start keeping track of them. So.
Yeah, we will. Let's take a very quick break and thank our first sponsor of today's episode, a new sponsor for the show, and actually for the Twit Network. Very excited to welcome 99designs. To the show. It's awesome to have you guys along. 99designs connects the world with great graphic designers to create fast, affordable graphic designs. It's a very cool way to just kind of get access to all of these graphic designers for a project or an idea that you have going and get them to kind of present work to you and take your pick from a lot of different work. You tell 99designs what you need. Dozens of designers from their community submit quality designs created just for you and give your designers the feedback to help them refine the designs, and then you select and pay for your favorite. So there's more than 210,000 graphic designers worldwide available to work on your product or project through 99designs. World-class 24/7 customer support over the phone, email, chat, complimentary design consultations with the San Francisco design team for your branding needs, 100% money-back guarantee. And they have a lot of different categories that you can do, categories like logo design, web design, digital marketing collateral like landing pages, Facebook cover design, infographics, printed marketing material like brochures, flyers, menus, labels, apparel, T-shirts, hoodies, all that kind of stuff, mobile app design. Pretty much the sky's the limit if it's a design product or a project that you're trying to get some design ideas for. This is a great place to start. In fact, Twit actually used 99 Designs to help commission Twit logo designs for our next marketing products. And the results are actually really cool. I have the link in the chat if you go there, Chad. But we just got a ton. We got hammered with all of these different unique and creative ideas around the Twit logo. And they're all presented in a fantastic list that you can just kind of scan through and immediately kind of see like, oh, yes, this is kind of what we're looking for. And as I said just a little bit ago, we can offer feedback to them to kind of refine these ideas. And I mean, there's just a ton that have been submitted.
This is so cool.
Yeah, totally.
This whole service is a great idea. I mean, to make it design affordable and accessible.
Right.
You know, how many times you like, oh, I got a great idea for a website and you have Photoshop. I know for me, I just can't make it work sometimes, you know?
We're not graphic design designers by trade. Yep. And even this weekend I was having a conversation with my wife. She owns a business in San Francisco, and she was talking about the need to get some graphic designs around things. And I was like, oh, well, it's awesome that you say that because I know exactly who to point you to. So here's what you can do. You can get started right now for as low as $199 for your own custom graphic design. Just visit 99designs.com/AAA and you get a $99 power pack of services for free. A power pack gives you more designer time and attention. 99 Designs will bold, highlight, and feature your design project in 99 Designs Marketplace, and you'll get nearly twice as many designs as a result. So you can also call, if you'd like to use the phone, call 800-513-1678, designated for Twit listeners. That's 800-513-1678. One more time for you who didn't have a pen ready, 800-513-1678. Or you can just visit 99designs.com/AAA today and sign up for the service and check it out. We thank 99 Designs for their support of All About Android and the Twit Network. It's awesome having you guys on board.
I like repeating the number for people who didn't have a pen when the majority of them just pause it and rewind.
I didn't make the rules,
and then play it again, and then pause it, and then rewind. All
right. This is how it's been done on TV for years and years and years. There you go.
All right, let's stop burying the lead. Let's get into it.
Yes, hardware.
We need like a boxing bell, the main event. Ding, ding, ding.
I know there was a phone announced last week. Just a little thing that didn't really have very much. No one really knew about it.
Yes.
Until it happened. nice. I like that. I like it. The Samsung Galaxy S4 event was last week. I think it was, what was it, Thursday?
Yes, it was Thursday. Yep.
Yeah, let's talk about the phone first. And let's talk about maybe the least interesting part about the phone, which is the hardware itself, okay? Most of the leaks were correct. The hardware, 5-inch screen, 1920x1080, full HD. Looks a lot like the Galaxy S3. Snapdragon 1.9 gigahertz CPU, take 2 gigabytes of RAM. It's got a 13-megapixel main camera, 2-megapixel front camera. What else? It's got infrared, Bluetooth, and GPS, of course. But probably the most interesting thing about the S4 is the software. Really, the hardware looks a lot like the S3, maybe a little bit bigger. But Samsung's added a lot of cool new software. And I don't know, Jason, if we want to talk about this together, we want to go through each one of these individually, or should we just cherry pick the good stuff?
Yeah, let's just cherry pick some of the stuff that really kind of stood out.
Tons of new camera features.
Yeah, I think cameras the one that seems everywhere. To get a lot of play right now is the dual camera thing.
Yeah, where dual camera. So, yeah, you're taking a picture, and then you can put your own face from the front camera into the picture.
So is anyone going to use that? I mean, like, think about it.
I think that could be said for a lot of the features. Yeah, that
So the idea being that I could take a picture of, you know, people, and then with the front-facing camera, take my face while I'm taking the picture, and then it like puts it over the photo I took, like kind of like a stamp or they have a whole bunch of different kind of creative.
Creative executions. The frames were really cheesy. I was like, no, I do not want to put my face in a poach's postage stamp. Like, that's just weird.
Right.
I mean, I like the idea of, like, I'm taking a picture and here I am proving that I was present at this event, taking this picture. You know, they kind of sold it as like, oh, you know, the parent who's the documentarian is never in the picture with the kids. This is a way for you to be in the picture.
Right.
But, this was definitely one of those, like, I don't know if I'm actually going to use this. I don't know. I feel like it could make your pictures look a little cheesy.
I feel like it's a solution looking for a problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I kind of understand the problem because I've taken many pictures and, you know, I suppose there have been times where I wished I was in the picture, but that's right, but about where it ends because it's like, but I'm taking the picture.
But
so
haven't we mastered the arm's length photo?
Yeah, that's true.
And haven't we mastered giving someone else your phone to take a picture? I mean, like, you know, I don't know.
Fair
just,
enough,
yeah.
Fair
but
enough.
Anyway, yeah. So yeah, what else they
get? Yeah. Another this feature I really didn't get, sound and shot. So you get to record like a few seconds of audio along with a still photo.
Now, this, on the other hand, I think is awesome. I think it's great.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Why would you do this versus taking a really short video?
Well, because from what I understand, or what the execution they had was that you can take a picture of, you know, your kid playing soccer, and then let's say you want to send that to your wife who's not at the game or a grandparent and be like, oh, and then Timmy scored a goal. Like, it's it's like a burst little message that kind of gives that little personal touch. It's almost like those greeting cards that where you can record the greeting, you know, where you say happy birthday, you know, you can record singing happy birthday. Like that was kind of cool. I could see myself using that.
This coming from the guy who was like, vines are weird because you have that one looping bit. See, no,
it's weird.
If they looped the sound in the shot, then you would be against it.
Oh, as long as they don't loop the sound in the shot, I'm cool with it.
What is the format of this picture?
That's
a very good question. Yeah,
are only people who have a Samsung device going to be able to look at this photo or and listen to it? I guess listen to the photo.
Is it going
to
be like a 3GP? Like, oh yeah,
yeah. In which case, I don't know if I want that.
The feature that I was excited about was Eraser. So if you're taking a picture of people in a busy area where there's a lot going on in the background, you could take a few photos, and then this Eraser tool lets you very easily remove items from the background that you don't want to be there. So it's just kind of a little Photoshop or photo fixing feature. I like that a lot. That's probably something I would use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The anti-photo bomber. I love it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the anti-photo bomber. Exactly.
Exactly.
What else?
It's outside of the camera because it really did seem like a lot of stuff inside the camera. But outside of it, replacing kind of, you know, continuing to replace some of Google's features, S-Translator. So a translator app. Yep. You speak into it. It translates with text, then you hit a button, and it'll play the translated text for when you're traveling or whatever.
Voice Drive?
Yep. Part of this all was their whole, and we'll get into the presentation a little later, but they said the Samsung Galaxy 4 is like your life's companion. And it seems as if they spent a lot of time developing these applications to have you sit and exist in the Samsung environment.
Oh, yeah.
And not go outside of it. And that's why they're duplicating, you know, whether it's the Translate or the voice stuff or whatever, the Drive interface, like the driving interface that they rolled out.
Mm-hmm.
These are all duplicate of what Google's been doing because they're trying to build the Samsung Galaxy presence.
Yeah. There's tons of Samsung-specific things. I mean, I looked at this and thought, like, if I used all these features, I feel like I would be locked into the Samsung universe. There's Samsung Home Sync. There's this group play that lets you play the same song across all Samsung devices. There's Home. There's a feature where you can, like, sync to your home device. So if you're taking pictures and you're on the road, you know, your family at home can see them. But you'd have to have Samsung hardware to work with it. There's S Health, which has kind of like a Fitbit/Jawbone Up kind of like bracelet that monitors your heart rate and number of steps you've taken. So you really have to buy into the whole ecosystem. And this actually gets to the hardware accessories that are available, or the most popular ones that this site Ragtime Duke reported on. There's
you know, I don't know the site, but it had a good rundown of some of the hardware, so I just put it in there.
Yeah, no, it's great. There's the S Band, like I just said. There's a bunch of covers, which you'd expect, right? A few flip covers.
Yeah, but the cover. That's kind of interesting. The S View cover, maybe it's not interesting, but it's different. Where it has a little portion of the cover actually kind of etched out, And I believe that kind of taps into the hardware to present to you when it's closed special information in there, even though the cover is closed.
It'll give you text messages and things like, like status stuff. Yeah, that's a cool innovation.
Interesting.
I thought some of the accessories were the best part of it. I think, I think Samsung going into the fitness world is interesting. It shows how much growth there is in that channel and that vertical of people wanting fitness, integration.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, were there any features that really stood out for you in all this? Because, I mean, I realize we're rambling through this stuff. The crazy thing is there was a ton of stuff announced in that hour. What were some of the highlights for you?
I was actually talking earlier, but apparently Chad had me muted.
Sorry.
My fault.
Apparently I was talking to myself and you guys were just ignoring me.
Oh, I promise you we weren't.
Sorry. Oh,
I apologize
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cool things. I was saying when she was mentioning Eraser with the camera, I know they were trying to innovate with the camera, but constantly, especially me being in college, there's kids always trying to jump into pictures just because they think it's funny, trying to photobomb and stuff. And a lot of people don't really know how to edit photos. So, I mean, them being able to do it just from their phone makes things a lot easier. I think that's something that can be used from pretty much everyone if something gets in a picture that they don't want to be there. And as you were talking about, I think them getting into fitness is pretty neat. I work out occasionally myself, and I definitely want more of the technical aspect to get involved as opposed to just me listening to music while I'm working out. I definitely want it to be more. I think it would make it more interesting having it track certain statistics and things like that,
sure.
Letting you know how much weight you've lost or how many calories you've burned, etc. I think it'll make it more interesting and more fun, even just knowing that you can try and do better and you can just easily keep track of everything. I know it said that your S4 is going to take all the data and then gather it into easily viewable statistics. So I think that's a really, really neat feature that they're doing, especially because they have these dedicated accessories. I don't remember them really ever doing this many dedicated accessories with any phone.
Yeah, totally. Another one, AirView, AirGesture. Yep. Glove friendly, so like you can just kind of hover over without touching the screen if you're wearing gloves or whatever, it doesn't matter. And I believe you saw a little bit of this in the note with the S Pen, to where you could hover over things and it would pop up, certain bits of information that actually touching the screen would select or whatever.
They also rolled out the scrolling function, the eye scrolling function. Mm-hmm. So, as we speculated, you look at the phone and as you're reading, it will pick up your eye and move with it as well. Like we said, a lot of software. I mean, to me, it almost feels like this is a point release, or there was a major software release as opposed to a major handset change. The phone looked so similar to the Galaxy 3. The specs are better. The thing is that all the software stuff overshadowed the fact that it is a really nice piece of hardware. Like it is a good phone. But they just layered in all this stuff on top of it. And the question that came up was that if you're a Galaxy S3 user, are you feeling like, well, am I left out in the dark or whatever? But they did clarify at the end of it, at the end of the presentation, that all these software features, many of these software features, not all of them, but many of them, will make their way to the Galaxy S3 and Note 2. And that Samsung's director of mobile business, Drew Blackard, said, our hope is to bring anything that's not dependent on hardware to other devices.
Yeah.
So if you are an S3 user, you don't need to run out and go get the S4. Many of the features will make it to your phone. Mm-hmm. What those will be, we'll see. So
yeah, exactly. And then just real quick.
It's funny that you mentioned go ahead, Jason.
Nope, you got the floor.
It's funny that you mentioned the design being so similar. I mentioned in one of my videos I was talking about just the S4 in general, recapping everything. But with the design being so similar, I'm curious to see if this is going to become a trend for Samsung being similar to Apple with the iPhone, where they'll use the same design essentially, maybe change a little bit of the design, but then focus more on software and improving these software features just along with the same design and just improve specs of the device itself.
Well, and
I absolutely think that's kind of where we're headed.
And that coincides with HTC's approach. The HTC One is a unified design. It's going to be the phone moving forward.
It's a proven successful kind of way to go about it to develop your brand, the brand. So yeah. HTC maybe hasn't done so well in that with the One series. Hopefully, obviously they're trying to change it.
Well, yes.
Samsung definitely has with the Galaxy series. And, the unified rollout, same hardware across multiple carriers, that's important. It's way less confusing for the everyday person to remember that, oh, yeah, the Galaxy S is the great phone that I keep hearing about from all these different people, as opposed to the Samsung Fascinate, all the different names of the letters and everything tagged on. It just makes it more confusing. So, absolutely.
But what was interesting was that it was very Samsung heavy and not very Android or Google heavy. To make sense. So that kind of leads into the presentation itself and kind of why we're snickering. For those who watched the presentation live, I was lucky enough to be at home watching it and talking with Leo and the folks here in the studio about it live. It was a sight. It was very unique. It was very unlike most presentations. It was in New York City at Radio City Music Hall. They picked up that, you know, close to Broadway, New York Times Square kind of theme.
They really went the Broadway route.
Yeah, they hired a Broadway actor to kind of be host or MC. We found out that the kid who was the kid in the box video is actually a very talented tap dancer and actor in his own right.
I'll give him that.
And it became this very schlocky, vaudeville-esque, you know, breaking the fourth barrier kind of presentation that it's funny here because the video the video that we're showing, Phil Nicholson pointed out that this isn't too different than their presentation in 2010 in Vegas.
Which is what we're looking at right now. This is the original Galaxy S presentation.
So this is the first presentation, and while it wasn't as, you know, Broadway-y, it had actors kind of showing what S life is like. So I totally forgot about this presentation.
Yeah.
And if you compare this to the presentation that happened at Radio City Music Hall, it was the 2010 presentation times like 10, because there are these actors on stage and they're just living they're living their lives, and the host is kind of talking. You know, we can roll some of the audio so you can hear it.
If he was in Munich,
it would be a wunderbar.
Venice?
No importa dove tu vada, sarete in grado di comunicare.
Impressive.
Grazie.
The Galaxy S4 also knows French,
just
German,
kind of
Italian.
weird to tune in to find out about advice, and then because I wonder how many seats. First of all, I know someone has said this is somewhere around 6,000 seats in Radio City Music Hall. How many of those people were tech reporters?
Right.
And is that who you're targeting this to? Because the everyday person probably is never going to watch this or care.
And that's the thing is that I felt as if this was totally targeted to the everyday person.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Right. They glossed over the technology stuff, right? I think they totally missed the mark. But then talk about missing the mark even more was that in the presentation itself, it was going along and it was being kind of wacky and it was being kind of weird. And then it got to the last segment, which was a group of women at a bachelorette party in Miami showing how they use their phone. And it became one of the most sexist presentations I've ever seen.
Molly Wood at CNET did a great job kind of illustrating this point specifically. And it's, you know, definitely not limited to just this scene. Her kind of point is that, you know, a little bit here and there might have been okay, but Samsung kept kind of hammering that point home. And I mean, that's just one angle of this. It just ultimately, it just felt uncomfortable and weird.
It was really awkward.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. It was awkward. There were times where I was just kind of like, I kind of feel uncomfortable being a human being right now, like watching this.
So this is them using the audio sharing thing.
Yeah.
But what was worse was that they had a whole thing about you don't have to touch the screen to interact with it. And the reason was because the woman's nails were drying.
Nails are drying,
Or they showed how the video stops. If you're watching video on the phone, when you look away, it stops to allow the woman on stage to ogle the gardener.
Yeah.
Like, it was just the poor choices of how to show the practical use of the phone.
I think what's interesting about this, I can't remember where I read it, or maybe I saw an interview about it, but they took the quintessential kind of Broadway approach here. And if this wasn't a technology presentation, if this wasn't specifically geared for presenting this bit of technology to people, and it was a Broadway musical or show of some sort, would the same kind of hammer be dropped on that aspect of it? And I'm not sure that it necessarily would, but I don't know why the difference.
Right.
You know, and
they definitely tried to incorporate the tech side of it, the entertainment side of it, and the everyday use side of it, and just mix it all into one. And I don't think they really spent enough time really looking at what they were doing.
Yeah.
Now, Gina, you really enjoyed it, right?
Oh God, I love Broadway. I'll you know, when I go to New York and have a free night, like I'll just go to TKTS and get a ticket. I love Broadway. I watched this event and was just like, I mean, from the beginning, just nothing landed correctly.
Yeah.
Even Life Companion, I was kind of stuck on Life Companion, like as in life partner, like meet my life partner and my life companion. You know, it just none of it like fit right or fell right. None of the presentation felt good. I really like Molly's piece about the sexism part of it. It was funny. Like I was more offended by the like terrible Broadway show that could have been really good. Like I love Will Chase. He was the MC, but I did not love him during this presentation. So the whole time I was just like, oh God, no. But I understood the attempt, right? It was like, let's get people who can dance and act and sing and tap dance to show off what this phone can do. Like, I think that the right intentions were there, but yeah. it just didn't land right. It was just bad.
It was sad. So they tried to do something different. They kind of fell flat on their face. I think everybody kind of called them out on it. Now let's just move on.
You know, the other side of this is it's not going to matter at all. This phone still is going to do great. This event is going to be forgotten. It won't be forgotten. It'll go down in the books.
It'll be
but
compared.
But it's not going to be held, against.
In the next one, Phil Mickelson's going to write a post and he'll put up the video and compare them about how they improved. All right.
All right, let's actually get an email in.
When we
go along, we end up having to cut some emails, and I definitely want to get this in. This is actually a video mail, and I thought it was a pretty darn good question. Brandy sent us a video mail. It's a question about iBooks on Android.
Hi, All About Android. I'm a first-time video caller, so to speak, but a long-time listener. My question is about eBooks. I recently bought a MacBook through my university, and as a part of it, I got a $100 gift card to the iTunes store. And I'm really interested in buying eBooks, but I have a Nexus 7, and so I've been searching for a way to transfer the eBooks I buy on the iTunes store to my Nexus 7, and I've really been having a problem doing that. So I'm wondering if you guys have any ideas, if you know of any way to do that, I would be really grateful. My name is Brandy, and I look forward to hearing your answer. Thanks so much.
I hope that we can help you. I've never had to do this before.
I was just going to say, can we show this?
Well, I think we should probably start by saying that it probably breaks whatever user agreement you have with Apple when you bought the books. So do it at your own risk. But there are definitely ways, at least searching. Like I said, I haven't done it myself. But I will include a link into the show from epubsoft.com that kind of details. I believe it's using a piece of software called Requiem. That works, I think, PC or Mac. And so, yes, long answer short, it is possible to strip that DRM if you've bought it and you now want it on your Android device. We want to be careful with this in how we phrase it. I would say in the grand scheme of things, I always feel like you should own the content if you bought it.
True, yeah. Period. I mean, the good news is that the books in the iBook store aren't some weird format. They're just EPUBs. So if hypothetically you were able to find some sort of app that stripped the DRM, hypothetically, you could probably open it up in a reader, in an EPUB reader on your Nexus 7. But again, you're breaking your terms of service with Apple and possibly legal implications.
Yeah.
Not that anyone would ever find you, but you better safe than sorry. I don't know. It was a free gift card. It would be nice to spend it, but just go to Amazon Kindle and use the Kindle app.
There are ways to sell gift cards too, right?
Yeah.
Aren't there services where you can trade it
to somebody or something? Yeah. So,
there are other ways to do it, I suppose.
Good luck, Brandy.
Good luck.
So,
let's dive into apps.
So as if Andy Rubin stepping down wasn't enough, and the Samsung thing wasn't enough, but after all that, then we got to hear the voice of millions of geeks scream out in agony as Google announced that they are shuttering Google Reader, blaming that usage of Google Reader has gone down, and Google is in the process of doing a spring cleaning, which is very a Larry Page sort of thing to do, if you notice. Larry really likes to shutter these things that they're done with. They killed Google Reader, and then quicker than you could say they killed Google Reader, they pulled the Google Reader app from the Google Play Store. So when they were serious about killing Google Reader, they were serious about killing Google Reader.
Yeah, they did it. They done did it.
So everybody's freaking out because apparently even though Google says that nobody's using Google Reader anymore, apparently we're all using it and freaking out. Right? I mean,
well, it's not just Google Reader, though. Like, the API was the back end for lots of other client apps, right? So, you know, like Reader, R-E-E-D-E-R, and a bunch of other really popular newsreader apps were using sort of the Google Reader API. So when Google Reader goes away, and to be clear, it actually goes away in July, right? But they just pulled the Android app out of the Play Store right now.
Yeah.
But your Google Reader is still around, and you can export all your subscriptions to OPML, which is a standard format that you can import into other newsreader applications. The problem is that Google Reader was so good, it has been around for so long, and had such a great API that handled things like stories that got updated in your RSS feeds and that kind of thing, and things that your friends shared, that everything just became dependent upon it.
Yep.
And now that it's going away, everyone's sort of scrambling to find an alternative.
I'll admit it was a real head scratcher because I feel like every news app or anything like that, I always linked right to my Google Reader and I got all my feeds in there, and it worked great. You can export your feeds, like Gina mentioned, through Google Takeout. So just go to Google Takeout and you can export your RSS feeds. And so then if you need a replacement, there have been tons of posts on around the web. CNET had one. I know Lifehacker had one. It seems as if the one that gets the most amount of recommendations is Feedly.
Yeah, it's been getting a lot of play.
Yeah. So what is do you use Google Reader or –
Tim?
I rarely do, but I have friends that use it often. And I'm looking at the chat room, and Ken from Chicago said something pretty interesting, that they should have integrated Google Reader with Google Plus, so then it would just increase the need for people that use Google Plus, and then, I mean, just have more people on there. I think that'd be a good idea from Google for them to do that.
Well, that's interesting because the speculation has been that they're going to do that. That they're gonna,
I bet at Google I/O, there's totally going to be a thing for like publishers publish to Google Plus. Seems pretty clear that that's going to happen.
Wait, I'm having this flashback of when Google Plus was first announced and released. Wasn't there a feature?
There was.
Yes.
There totally was. There was that thing. It was that thing.
And you opened it up and you were like, why would I ever use this? And it was something similar.
It was supposed to be like personalized news based off what the people in your circles were reading.
Yeah.
Sparks.
Oh,
there we
sparks.
Go.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Got it.
You got it. All right. anyways, okay, so we got that one out of the way. I don't know. It's funny that so many people were so sad about Reader going away.
My other theory is that they're going to roll into Google Plus what is it? It's March. So you've got April, May, June, July. I bet you there's going to be a new, oh my God, amazing RSS reader that's going to emerge from the ether, from the response of this developer. This is a democratic development society, and they'll come together and they'll make the perfect RSS reader. Because the thing was, people complained about Google Reader. They didn't like the interface. It was like all it really did was a place on Google to let you collect your RSS feeds.
But it interplayed really well, Gina was saying, and that was a big feature.
It did.
Reason why.
So if you're a big Google Reader, if you're using the app, look at Feedly. Look at Flipboard, look at Tap2, look at NewsBlur. There's a whole bunch of this. There's options on the web as well as on Android, so check them all out.
Yeah.
Find you got 4 months to figure it out.
Yeah, a little bit of time. Gmail on Android updated with actionable notifications for Jelly Bean users. Man, I just love me an app that uses Jelly Beans like interactive notifications. So when you grab the Gmail update and you have notifications turned on, you'll be able to reply to an email right from you. First of all, you can read who's the email from, what's the subject line, it's a little bit of the text of the email. You can delete it right from your notification shade pull down. You can reply to it. You may be able to apply labels. I don't know. Maybe not labels. But this is really nice. I like this a lot. And in fact, I just pulled it down onto my phone right before the show, so I haven't had a chance to try it out. And in fact, I turned off Gmail notifications because I didn't want to go crazy. But this makes me want to turn them back on.
little archive button.
I really got to admit that these Jelly Bean notification pane things are really freaking cool. Like now the Gmail, you can do that. But also what I noticed was, and maybe I'm just dumb because I didn't realize it, but if you look here on my phone, right? So I've got Battery Widget Reborn, and that's expanded. But like I've got OneWeather, and sometimes OneWeather would have an expanded weather kind of view. And I realized if you just swipe down, it expands.
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't know that. That's so cool.
You can use two fingers to swipe it back up. You.
Oh, my God, look at that.
You can actually press and hold on it with one finger and then bring it back up.
Right.
Oh, wow, look at that. That's so cool. Anyway, but and now battery widget reborn has all these links on here. Pocket Cast, I can control, play, and pause. It's almost as if the phone is inside the notifications pane.
SAG 7392 in the chat, late to the party, Ron.
Yes, I am.
Let's do a show where Ron just discovers all the cool things about Android.
So cool.
Rediscovers for you.
Did you guys know that you could press and hold on stuff? That's crazy.
I literally realized this when the Gmail update happened. I was like, oh, look at those buttons. And then it's been a whole new world.
Wow.
I got excited, all right?
Well, speaking... sorry.
I was going to say,
Android Police does use great APK teardowns.
Yes,
they take the APK, which is the executable, I guess you'd say, file of an app. So Android Police grabbed this recent Gmail update and did an APK teardown and was going through preferences and, you know, kind of checking out perhaps upcoming features and found some references to unused actions, Whoosh, Zoom, and some half-working Google Plus integration, which doesn't sound like it's too off the mark. Surely the future releases of Gmail will involve more Google Plus integration. So nice to see Gmail getting really good on Android. I mean,
yeah.
Gmail's always been great on Android.
And I think the cool thing about this teardown, at least the thing that kind of caught my eye, was the fact that it calls out all of the functions, pretty much all of the functions that you would do in your Gmail app to any piece of mail. So right now, I think that notification action is limited to, I think, archive and delete, reply.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people want to be able to mark it as read or whatever. And so this kind of hints at that being a possibility somewhere down the line.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's great that they're doing this. I use Gmail all the time, and I actually was thinking about it the other day and was saying, I was reading an email from someone, I would always spam the email and say, oh, I wish I could just hit reply, but it was never an option. I would have to go into the app, then click on the actual message, and then go and hit reply. And I was thinking, why don't they just do it just like the messaging application on 4.2, just where you can just hit reply after you read it. So that way you don't have to read it twice. Or go into that certain message twice. You read it once when it's in the notification, and then you have to go back into it and see it again before you can hit reply, which was kind of tedious, but it's great that they've updated it now.
Totally.
And it's almost as if they're looking at how people use it. It's becoming more of a usability update, which is the best kind of update.
Yeah.
Speaking of usability...
And speaking of Ron getting excited about
getting
things.
Getting excited... Saw this this kind of crowdfunding project pop up on Indiegogo. Got a bunch of people pointing it out to me as well. I already saw it before anybody pointed it out, by the way. But in the category of insane apps and insane keyboard apps, you know I love this stuff. There is an app called Minimum. I don't know if you pronounce it that way. But
Minimum.
It is a condensed keyboard app design that here you can just see it playing in the video here for those listening on audio.
Skip through about a third of the way.
People complaining about how hard the keyboard is. So what if you could collapse the keyboard into one row along the bottom of your screen?
That would be craziness.
Look at that. So now it's just one row of letters that are kind of three letters in step, you know, kind of waterfall stuff. And I got to admit, in the video, the people using it, they're flying as they're typing.
I think it's about time someone did this. When I was using a tablet, that was my biggest complaint about it, was that the keyboard would take up a bunch of the screen, and it was a huge pain because you still wanted to see everything. I think they mentioned in the video that that the keyboard takes up all the space on the tablet, but that was definitely one of the biggest things that was a gripe of mine using a tablet. But I think it's great that they've kind of incorporated the use of it, especially because you can move it around and it doesn't really, it's not very obtrusive at all. You can just kind of just use it. I don't know how easy it's going to be. It looks like it's going to be easy from the people that are using it, but again, they're the developers probably using it every day. They know how to use it. Hopefully it'll be pretty easy to pick up. And if it is, I could definitely see this catching on and moving on to even other platforms and other operating systems with touch screens, because touch screens on tablets, you can't type nearly as fast as you can on a keyboard. And there definitely needs to be some way that you can incorporate a faster way to type without it being very obtrusive on the whole screen and without having to use a physical keyboard itself. So I'm really glad that people are using more ideas to get these keyboard enhancements, because that full screen keyboard is definitely something that needs to be changed.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's really interesting. And the video goes on to show some of the other applications they could do through infrared and through motion control and things like that. It looks like these guys are really looking at the concept of keyboard interaction and how can you think differently around it. And like on the tablet in the video you saw, they were able to resize the shape of the keyboard so you can change how big it is and position it. It looks like a real interesting app. So I hope to get it into the arena one day, but it's got to get funded. So go to Indiegogo. If you believe in it, go chip into it. I did not, but just generally because I just don't do that stuff. But yeah, it should be interesting to see how that goes. So
the greatest achievement for me, normally I would just poo-poo something like that and dismiss it, but I actually watched the entire video. Like they did a great pitch video, I have to say. I was almost convinced at the end. Really close to fund it. Yeah, they did make their case, even though it looks totally insane. Like I was immediately like, I will never use this, but then I was just mesmerized, like listening to them explain it and showing the different use cases. The thing that turned me off is typing a password. So I think you can have really great predictive text.
Yeah.
Right. So basically you're just gonna miss a bunch of keys, but typing a password, you'd have to put your finger, tap and hold to kind of expand. Agreed. The word that they couldn't possibly predict, and that alone I was like couldn't do it. But it's a great
specific
video.
Typing is always an issue, especially with autocorrect and stuff. If you want to spell something a specific way, or like you said, type a password, that's always been an issue, especially if you're pressing and holding, changing it. But yeah, I definitely agree, that's a really good point with the passwords.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Well, crazy apps. We got one more email, right?
That's right. Let's see here. Taylor Ling from the Android User Interface blog just released an Android UI design kit, says Jose Jacobo, Android and web developer. He sent us an email for Android 4.2. It's free to download. The design kit includes the Nexus 4 screen resolution and several other newer UI elements like the drawer menu, gestures, cards, Google Now, Crouton, and Undo Bar. Seeing that I am by no means artistically gifted, I rely on this sort of thing to make my apps look beautiful and standard with the current Android themes. Great stuff from Android UX, or Android
UI UX.
UI UX, there we go. Not meant to be said as one word, apparently.
This is a pretty good PSD download. This is, even if you're not a developer and you're just kind of interested in like what it would be like to kind of snap together Lego pieces that are like UI elements, this kind of thing is kind of fun to pull down and just be like, if I have an app idea. I feel like I have people write me all the time. I don't know if you guys get this, and say like, I have an app idea and I want to get a developer to work on it, or I want to learn how to do development. And my advice is always just like wireframe it, make the screen.
Yeah.
What would it look like? Design the front end, which is a really kind of fun project that anybody can do. You don't have to write a line of Java to do that.
Right, and that might be just enough to kind of inspire you to move to the next step, or maybe find someone who's able to, who's able to work with you on it and be kind of co-creators of this thing. So it's a great way to kind of be a launch pad for getting it started. There it is.
Very cool.
Nice.
All right,
let's take a quick break before the arena. And wow, we're going to have to cruise to the arena once more here. But before we do that, let's thank our other sponsor of today's episode, Gazelle. Do you want the new S4, the Samsung Galaxy S4 that was announced, the HTC One, pretty much any other Android smartphone, or pretty much anything? If you want something, you might have an old device that you need to get rid of first, and Gazelle is a great way to do that. Before you get it, make sure to sell your used phone to Gazelle for cash. Instead of it just kind of wasting away in your drawer, it's losing value with every day. So you go to Gazelle, it's GAZELLE.com today, and you tell Gazelle the condition of the device that you have. They make it really easy. They give you kind of all the devices that you can pick from, the carrier that it's on, the different configurations that it might have, storage space, whether you're dealing with a laptop or a desktop computer, all these different ways that you can kind of drill down to exactly the device that you hope to sell. And you kind of go through their user interface there. And finally, Gazelle will present you a price. You get paid in cash. Essentially, they'll present you that price and for 30 days honor that for you. They'll send you a box. You just drop the device in the mail, and that price is secure for you for 30 days. Send it back to Gazelle, and bam, you get paid. It's risk-free. As I said, the offers are good for 30 days, so you kind of have nothing to lose. You just kind of go on there and see how much you can get for your device. Lock in that quote and go forward if you feel. Gazelle has paid $50 million to over 500,000 customers, and that's just because it's easy. They make the entire process super easy, free shipping, No listing hassles. It's just a great service to use. So if you would like to check out Gazelle for yourself, take a minute and go to gazelle.com to find out what your Android smartphone is worth. That's gazelle.com. And use the site to figure it out. It's pretty easy, very straightforward. And a lot of people have been paid through Gazelle. Sell your used Samsung Galaxy device today at gazelle.com.
Do you think they take my Galaxy Nexus?
I know that they take your... Well, wait a minute.
Oh, with the broken camera?
Actually.
With the shattered screen.
They might not take it, but they will help you recycle it.
Oh, interesting. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
well, Chad's going to help me recycle it, so I got that.
Sure.
Chad, you're going to replace the screen for...
Well, so he offered, and then... But I don't want to spend $100.
You did a couple of weeks ago.
If you were going to get a brand new phone...
Anyway. Okay, we'll let you off the hook this time.
Maybe we can do it Minecraft.
But the next time you break your screen, yeah. Chad's totally replacing it for you. All right. I hope that doesn't happen, by the way.
Me too. I just got this.
All right. Let's waste no more time. Android Arena time.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
That just gets funnier.
It does. With every play. So last week, Ron, you were not with us.
I was on bad Wi-Fi. That last week, really?
That was last week, yeah. Wow. A week's fly by around this part. Kevin Purdy actually joined us, and we had three apps in the arena last week. InstaBridge, however, dominated with 49%. Gina, big ups to you. Even with our failed demonstration, Chad and I banded together to fail that. No, we actually didn't. Yeah.
To Facebook login incorrectly. InstaBridge wins.
Were so great. You guys were so great. I didn't help at all. Like, I was just sort of like, oh, yeah, guys, you should be able to share. Like, I didn't even attempt to do it with you. Ron was offline trying to share with Chad and Facebook. You guys were so good. I, like, barely described what it did. You guys were like, wait, it shares hotspots? Like, from your phone? Like, no.
I don't get man. Well, it doesn't matter. Obviously, the app spoke for itself, and you did a great job presenting it. InstaBridge wins with 49% of the vote. Bacon Reader, which was my Reddit app, came in second at 28%, and Pebble Notifier, Kevin's app, came in third at a 23%, so close behind me as well. So then, I suppose that means you were out last week, so you go first, right?
Yeah, I guess I got to go first.
All right.
So I took a circuitous route with my Arena app. I was researching yesterday, and normally I like to try to find a new app, maybe something you guys haven't heard of. I love it when there's only like 10 to 50 downloads in the Google Play Store because I want to see people go for it. The crazier, the better. But this week, actually, I just had to fall back on the one app, which is actually a game, the game that I've been playing nonstop, because those gamers out there in the audience will know that SimCity recently came out to much peril in their release. I'm a Mac user, so I couldn't even get frustrated by the lack of being able to play SimCity because of EA servers and stuff like that. But all this talk about SimCity made me really miss the original SimCity. And so I actually found a game that is it's pretty popular, millions of downloads. You've probably heard of it, but it's called City Island. And essentially, it's kind of awesome because it's almost like the basic old SimCity game. So I'll pull it up here. I've been playing it on the BART on the way to work, on the train, and it's been awesome. And basically, you just get this little plot of land. Got some music there, some jazzy music. I feel like Eileen. When she used to do these game demos.
Yes.
So you got this plot of land, and you can build on it. And so I tap on the build icon, and here I can build houses, or I can build areas of business, a farm or other things, other buildings. These all have little locks on them. They unlock as you progress through the game. So I'm going to build my first house, and it tells me how much it is, how many people it can fit, how big it is. So I hit build, and then I can just put it anywhere on the grid. And then you'll see the little construction kind of area start going in there. And then, well, I'm going to build a house. And so people who live in the house need to get around. So I can build roads around it. So I can just tap and build a road around my house. All right.
So now people can drive around your house.
Exactly. I'll do that. So there, we've already got a car going. We got a little taxi cab driving around. So once the house is built, people, and I'm just going to speed up the building of the house. You can speed it up by using gold or dollars. And I'm going to speed it up with some gold. And what's great about this game is they start you off with a lot of money. You start off with $100,000 and 75 gold pieces, which is a lot pretty much to do anything. So I've got my little house there. But now, if I didn't know what to do, which is great, this little dude in a top hat, your mayor, tells you your city's problems. So I tap on him, and he's going to tell me, you need to build decorations or community buildings in order to attract citizens. My advice is to build the flowers. Okay, I'll build a flowers.
Build a flowers.
So I'll build some. Where are those flowers? Are there?
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, so I'll build some flowers right here, and I can just build them, and you put them anywhere you want, and apparently that will attract people. I'll also go build. They got to go work, so I'll go build an animal farm.
Build flowers to track people? Are these like spy flowers?
No, attract.
I'm sorry. I have a sore throat. I'm sorry.
I love it.
Yeah.
That would make for a very interesting game.
Yeah, it would.
In a world where your flowers watch your every move.
So now I can build a road around the farm, and so now people can get there. I'll build a road around the flowers. It's like the old basic Sim City.
Yeah, totally.
And it just keeps going. And then up here you can see that's my level. I'm about halfway through level one. You get points every time. When you're up here, you can see your population, how many people live in your town, how many people are employed, the happiness meter. And it just kind of keeps going. And here, this kind of tells me that it's got no employees, so I need to somehow get somebody to go work there, and that'll happen over time. And the game just keeps going. You close out the app, you come back to it, and it's right where you left off. And eventually you can build up and you earn enough money and you earn enough dollars where you can expand and start building skyscrapers and get a bigger plot of land. And it's just kind of this self-perpetuating world. And it's just a lot of fun. So City Island, it was totally free, and it has entertained me for hours, and it has scratched that SimCity itch so much so that probably when SimCity does come out for the Mac, I probably won't even bother with it. So there you go.
I loved SimCity back
then. So did
I.
I loved it so much.
Yeah, that brings back some memories.
Yeah. So, all right, cool.
Anyone on the show been totally dissed by the new SimCity, or no one's playing it?
Yes.
Oh, okay, Chad.
And apparently, when you make a world, it's on the server. Sorry, whenever I switch, I just kind of go hair crazy.
It's okay. We know.
Whenever you make a world, it's stuck to that server. So if your server's full, you can't get to your world. Anyway.
Well, now you don't have to worry about that, Chad.
No, I should have gotten City Island in the beginning.
City Island.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go ahead and go next here. Mine's not going to take very long, and I stumbled across this. I'm not going to lie. I was totally like, what the heck am I going to do today? And then I saw this, and the decision was made for me. And I knew it was a good pick because the second I started showing it to people, Chad included, they all installed it immediately and started playing with it. It is The Walking Dead, Dead Yourself. And nice. So I'll just go ahead and see if I can launch into this real quick. Walking Dead, of course, is a zombie show that Ron knows a little bit about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't spoil anything. I'm a couple shows behind.
I'm not going to spoil it. I'm an episode behind myself.
All right, good.
So basically, it's got the camera function, right? It gives you a little outline. It's going to be hard for me to show taking Ron's picture.
Oh, you're not taking my picture? No.
Oh, I am. Right. I have to. It's for science. Okay. All right. So here we go. We have Ron's face looking like you're about to be a zombie. So you go ahead and pass through. Now, what it gives you are a bunch of different eye options. Gives you a bunch of different mouth options, little props and stuff, and then little color tinting. So let's just follow this real quick here. We can just find some good eyes. I don't like this color tinting right off the top. It's a little too... It masks things too much.
I think there's a frame on the third one.
Oh, is that what that is?
Oh, my eyes.
Yeah. Oh, your eyes. Ooh. That's right. So, and then we got a little mouth here. We'll go ahead and make it a little zombie mouth. And then we'll do, let's see here. We'll put these things pointing at you for some reason. And there we go. It didn't take me long. And I've got zombie, Rombie. Rombie, the bronze zombie. It's super silly and kind of ridiculous, but I found myself totally playing with it. And in fact, I'll show you some of the things that I came up with in my short time with it. Let's see here. So we got, there's Alex Gumpel clutching a dolly. He doesn't know about that. There's
jeez.
He doesn't know about the dolly.
He doesn't know about the dolly. There's Ollie. Ollie, Dolly. There's Tony Wang. thankfully, he's locked away. There's...
Who's that?
I think that guy is the technical director of this show. I'm not too sure.
I like how he looks like he's like questioning what he's doing. He's not quite sure. Yeah.
What is this?
Is this a steak?
And yeah, this was the first one that I did, so it's nice. It's not as awesome.
It's got a lot of cool stuff from the show, like that ring, the chain ring. Like uh-huh. They use that on the show. It's really well integrated with the, if you're a fan of the TV show. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
Oh, nice.
So there's me, nice. But my favorite is nice. Leo. Ah!
This is so disturbing. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The teeth are really good there.
Yeah, yeah. No, the teeth work perfectly on that. So you can resize and, you know, shape them all and everything. I didn't really show that off very much.
Now, but I did see this, and I figured it would be a conflict if I chose it, considering I work with The Walking Dead. But go read The Walking Dead comic books. They're awesome from Image Comics.
Yeah. I honestly did not even consider that when I picked it. You were like, well, I thought about choosing it, but I'm like, really, what are you talking about?
Yeah, so. I totally did not get the connection either. Yeah.
There you go. See, because that's my job. You guys got to read the comic books. Go read the comics.
Anyways, it's a fun app, and it's free, and you'll waste a good 10 to 15 minutes with it and start taking pictures of everybody with it. So check it out. It's The Walking Dead, Dead Yourself. Now, Tim, I have your app installed, so if you want to just go ahead and start talking about it, I'll try my best to keep up.
All right, yeah, that sounds good. I think one of the awesome features about Android that's kind of usually lost is that you can customize and change the keyboard on the device. As we were talking about earlier with the, what is it, Minuum keyboard mm-hmm. with those integrations. For those of you waiting for that to come out, I'm going to go ahead and talk about a keyboard that's out there now that you can try out. It's called Key Keyboard, actually. It is free in the Play Store. I found myself always switching between keyboards that I use, whether it be Swift Key, Swipe, Go Keyboard, and Jelly Bean Keyboard itself, and also the Samsung keyboard because it had a dedicated number row. So I went ahead and switched keyboards all the time, trying to find one that had the word prediction, the customizations, the dedicated number row. And then I went ahead and stumbled upon Key Keyboard, and it's what I've used ever since I found it out maybe about a few months, 3-4 months ago, and I've used it on every device since. It's been fantastic. It's got, you can use it as a multi-touch keyboard, just typing normally. You can swipe. It does use gestures, you have gesture features. The swipe does look very similar to the Jelly Bean keyboard style swipe, where it has that little blurb above it, what word is going to show up once you let go of the keyboard. But then you also have other, you'll see the theme of it's a little bit different. It doesn't look like a normal keyboard that you're used to. You can change the theme, different styles. You can also add a dedicated number row. Some of these are premium features. I have to double check on how much the premium features cost, but some of them are premium features. However, you can use them. I think they reset after an hour. But again, you can have arrows down below. For those of you that remember with HTC Sense, having the HTC keyboard, you can have arrows down there. You can change it to thumb keyboard for using it on a tablet, the style where it's got two sides. It really integrates a lot of different keyboards into one big package. I think they call it all-in-one package there. But yeah, I mean, with the different customizations you can do, it's just something I find myself using all the time. It does a good job at remembering when you save a specific word. It remembers it and changes it and adds that to the dictionary. I found some keyboards had difficulty with that, but it does that, as you can see there. It integrates well with voice to text as well, with Google's voice to text. And I mean, that's really about it. You can also actually add a picture of something as your keyboard background. I thought that was kind of neat too. But that's overall cool. Just a really functional keyboard that I find myself using all the time. When I do videos and I show off the keyboard, people are always asking me what keyboard that is, because it seems like not too many people know about it. So definitely something to go try out for yourself, and hopefully you guys like it as much as I do, because I really love it.
I'm going to go download this, because the arrow feature, and then also the fact that the voice dictation is built into the keyboard, both of those are killer for me. So I'm going to go download it. I just need to log in.
Let me know what you think.
Cool. All right. So that's Key Keyboard, K-I-I keyboard. And they also offer just a ton of the dictionaries and stuff through the Play Store, so you can load on whatever dictionaries are appropriate for you. And easily, I think I saw switch between those by holding down the space bar, so it's really kind of easy to get to them if you're multilingual. Yeah. Cool. All right. Awesome. That is the Key Keyboard. And Gina, you're up next with an app that I imagine I'm going to keep installed on my phone because this is pretty cool.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, we were talking earlier about Google possibly unifying all their different messaging services. I hope that happens. But until it does, if you use Google Voice to text, but you also use your phone's native carrier to text as well, you want this app. It's called pretty simply Messaging plus Google Voice. The app looks exactly like your Android's native messaging application, but what it does is that it integrates Google Voice text into it as well. So you get Google Voice and your regular SMS text into one interface. This is really, really handy. You can send Google Voice messages over data or Wi-Fi. If you get a message from somebody on your native carrier, you can reply via Google Voice if you're trying to maybe switch from one number to another. When you get a text, it pops up a little notification that lets you know you've gotten a text with the text of the message, and you can reply via Google Voice or via your native carrier. In the settings, you can say always use my native carrier, or always use Google Voice to reply. It's got a lot of great settings, but basically, it's just this kind of one place to get two kinds of messages, which is really handy, especially if you're using both kinds of messages. And an interesting use case, because it uses your stock messaging database, so that if you use an SMS backup tool, you'll back up both your Google Voice messages and your regular SMS messages. One caveat, you do have to have the Google Voice application installed on your device in order to use this app. But you just install it and forget about it, and then you can use this app for both the SMS and Google Voice. And if you want to text using Google Voice, using this kind of Android's native messaging app on something that doesn't have a carrier, like a tablet, if you've got a tablet without a data plan, you can do that. That's Messaging plus Google Voice. And definitely take a dive through the settings. I installed it, and I just kept all the default settings, and a couple of things about it annoyed me, the way it prompted me for, which way I wanted to respond every time. But take a dive into the settings. You can say, always use this method or that method. And it's really handy. I actually use Google Voice pretty much exclusively, but I might switch over to this app.
I'm reading the information in the Google Play Store, and I like the upcoming features. SMS sync, Facebook Messenger integration, Twitter DM integration, and our goal is to make this the single app that optionally integrates all of your messages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of nice. This is like uniform, unified messaging app. It'd be really nice. And super nice that they are aiming to at least expand even just beyond Google properties. I mean, I'd love to see Google unify all their things, Talk and Messenger and Hangouts and Voice and that. But kind of really interesting. Would get really interesting if it incorporated Twitter DMs and Facebook messages.
Yeah. I tend to dance between the Google Voice app and then the stock app, because my main number is Google Voice, but of course, in order to do any sort of MMS whatsoever, if I really wanted to, I don't use it very often, but sometimes I want to, and then I have to do that through the actual number of my device, and I only do that with people that don't get confused by the fact that I have two numbers, but just having that in one app is actually kind of very appealing as opposed to dancing between the two. So definitely.
Yeah, definitely. And then if someone responds on your native number, you can reply on your Google Voice, and it'll take the thread back to your regular number again.
Right.
It's kind of this way in one place. I do the same thing. I just use the native messaging app to MMS. This is kind of a nice way to be able to do both from one interface.
Totally.
Yeah, this somewhat doesn't solve the MMS
problem.
It's
more manageable.
It's a band-aid. It's a solution. I mean, I'm sure that Google's unified app will probably be maybe a little better than this, but this is a nice kind of bridge to that.
Absolutely. Cool. Right on. Great apps in the arena this week.
Nice wide selection.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. All different points here. City Island, The Walking Dead, Dead Yourself, Key Keyboard, and Messaging plus Google Voice. You can place your vote to let us know and everybody else know what your favorite app this week was in the arena by going to AAAPoll.com/101 for episode 101. That's AAAPoll.com/101. Early reports are in, and it appears that City Island has taken an early lead, Messaging plus Google Voice at a close second.
There's Key Keyboard coming in.
We'll say, there we go. It's
my guess is The Walking Dead's going to win. You're going to get the popular vote. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If it was The Walking Dead, Dead Yourself, and post to Reddit, then it would totally win. So,
There you go. All right. Well, we will follow that and check in on that next week for next week's episode. But that's it for this week. That was a jam-packed episode for sure. Tim Schofield, thank you so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure, and we definitely have to have you back sooner than a year later, because that's about how long it was. So
thank you. Thanks for having me. I had a great time, guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. This is your chance to kind of go ahead and promote, mention whatever you have working, where people can find all your work, all that good stuff.
Cool. Yeah. You can find me on YouTube channel, youtube.com/QBKing77. You can check out my website, qbking77.com. I mean, I've been trying to get into more general topics that everyone can relate to, not just specific device Android tutorial videos, but also reviews of products. My latest review is a Nexus 10. I also talk about tech news. I do kind of compilations of news and put them all together in one to just try and incorporate all the top news so you can get that all in maybe like a 5 to 10 minute segment. But yeah, definitely check me out. You can subscribe to my channel. I'd really appreciate that. You can also check out my website. You can bookmark that as well. So check it out, and hopefully I'll see you leaving comments or something.
Excellent. Thanks again, Tim. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Gina, what you got going on?
Well, hope folks will check out my Android app. It's a text-based task manager. You can find out more about it at todotxt.com. And I co-host This Week in Google, which we will be talking a lot about. There'll be some overlap tomorrow.
I'm sure there will be.
We'll be talking about Andy Rubin and the S4 and the Galaxy S4. And that will air tomorrow. That's on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific time. I co-host that with Leo and Jeff Jarvis on the Twit Network. And you can find out everything else I'm up to at ginatrapani.org.
Awesome. Ron, it's your turn.
Sweet. Yes. So you can go find everything about me at about.me/RonXO. And that's got links to my Twitter, Facebook, Google+, all the fun stuff there. And if you like The Walking Dead, check out The Walking Dead and comics. Go to imagecomics.com or thewalkingdead.com. Check it all out. Work for Image and some of the best comics in the world. And next week, I will have shorter hair. I promise you. I'm actually getting a haircut. It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing.
This is revolutionary.
Yeah, new phone, new hair. It's going to be a whole new
thing. They come like that. They come in pairs.
Exactly.
OMG Zombie Chad, what you got going on?
Well, I do a Minecraft show here on the Twit Network called OMG Craft. We are changing the format up in April, so you can go to omgcraft.com to subscribe to that show and omgcraft.com/changes to see what I'm talking about with some changes.
Changes. I approve of these changes. They're my favorite changes of any show.
Of any Minecraft show.
Of any Minecraft show. My favorite changes.
Yes.
Any OMG Minecraft show. And I am about.me/JasonHowell, or you can follow my musical exploits at yellowgoldmusic.com. Having a lot of fun there. But that's it for this week for this show. Leave us a voicemail. We've been getting a lot lately, and I'm sorry that we don't get to them all on the show. 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email or a video mail with a link to a video in an email at aaa@twit.tv. You can find the show on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We're also on Google+. There's a community that's hopping. So much stuff happened in the community on Google+. Show notes can always be found at twit.tv/AAA, along with past episodes there. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific-ish at live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Huh?